This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. So today's topic is something that I've wanted to cover for a long time. In fact, it was on my initial list when I started the show of what topics do I initially want to think about and eventually talk about. And I've damn near held off on this for almost 2 years because I feel like it's one of those topics that is very broad, has a lot of opinions, has a lot of considerations, and frankly, I could probably talk about this for, days on end. But nobody wants to hear an episode for days on end. So I'm going to try to concisely package everything up in a way that we can have further discussion on. So the topic is the ROI of design metrics, measuring the effect of your design out in the wild. Now, I don't want to say this is a divisive topic. I think that everyone who does any sort of design work, whether you're in marketing or whether you're in product or UX or service, whatever, we always have the goal in mind that we want to create an experience that is positive, that we help people do whatever it is that they need to do. I have previously said in past episodes that design is objective. You are meant to do something. Design is enabling you to do something, whereas art is subjective. Someone can view art and have certain feelings, and they're not wrong about that. However, design can be objectively wrong. In this regard, I think designers are always thinking about the end goal is to create a better experience. But when we think about how do we measure that, do we know we're creating a better experience? I think that gets a little bit fuzzy. And I'm a huge advocate of research, understanding the problem space. And I feel like if you don't do research up front and continuously throughout your project, you're going to fail. So I feel like research is the trigger to be able to understand the current scenario or the current landscape of what your audience is faced with on a day-to-day basis. When it comes to actually measuring the effect of design, it can be hard for designers to be truly objective because there is that human quality that we want the work that we've done to be used, to be a positive. And when our users are finding out that what we've created isn't quite working for them, that could be a hard pill for some folks to really swallow there. They want to make sure that they are being objective, but it can be really hard when you're finding out from people who are using what you've created that it doesn't really work for them. Measuring the ROI, is it just understanding that our users, our people that use our systems, are they finding it a good experience? That's one area that you can measure. But is it also, from a business perspective, what is the return on the investment? How has the work that we've done as designers, how is that netting the business that we work for? How is that netting them a positive? So there's a couple different ways you can look at this. And there are a number of frameworks and methods and ways to measure success, measure the effect. One that I particularly like is Google's HART framework. This was developed at Google a number of years ago, and this was a way to measure the effect of large-scale projects because Google, they have a couple things that they do. They wanted to make sure that they were creating projects and products and services and that the world can use. So they developed this framework, which is an acronym for happiness, engagement, adoption, retention, and task success. They developed this framework for anyone to be able to use the system here to be able to create their goals, to find the signals and what metrics would show that they're actually hitting their goals. And out of all of them, I feel like this is the one that is the most easy to pick up and understand, but also has the ability to be customized in a lot of different ways. Now, I've used System Usability Scale, I've used other frameworks and other methodologies, I've used a lot of homegrown ones, I've built a lot of homegrown ones, because each project, each product or service is going to have a little bit of difference that you just can't slap a framework to measure and be like, hey, this is going to work. So I find that Google's HART framework is probably the most flexible, but even then, you can definitely misuse it and really give yourself bad data and really interpret things very incorrectly. So let's go into the HART framework at first. Let's talk about this. This is the first time you've ever heard about it, or let's just do a little refresher. What is it? So what is every one of these acronyms? So let's go with H, happiness. Happiness is all about measuring the satisfaction of your users. Are they happy with what you've built? And you can typically do this through some sort of like survey. And this is where I feel like it gets really hairy, is that most people think, oh, we can just do a satisfaction survey. We can get this out there and we can have people report to us about how they're finding our service. A lot of companies do this. It's tried and true practice. Here's the problem, though, is that just like how people are really poor witnesses in criminal cases, people are also really poor at reporting their satisfaction, because it all really depends on the context. Over time, if you send me a satisfaction survey early in the morning and I'm trying to log into, I don't know, let's say my email client. I have a very particular email client that lets me do all these cool things. Great. So I'm in the morning and I'm sitting down, I've got my coffee, and the damn thing disconnects from the server. Okay, I gotta log back into the server. And reconnects again, does this a few more times. It's not my end, it's their end, and then it forgets my login credentials, and I gotta log back into everything, and then every time I log back in, it resets my preferences. And if you send me a satisfaction survey at that point in time, and I've had trouble logging into it, guess what? I'm not going to be giving you a very high satisfaction result, because at that point in time, I'm having a shitty experience. So when you do user surveys, when you hit them at very particular points in time, you're only getting their satisfaction at that point in time. Because most people are not going to think over the course of time. Now, when you think about satisfaction in a lot of respects, it usually ends up happening is that misery loves company. So if you have a really bad experience with a product or a service, what's going to happen is that human nature, we like to share that with other people. We like to tell, oh yeah, that email client's a piece of shit, doesn't really work, always disconnected, I can't find it. And that colors their perspective. Most people don't think over the course of the product, oh yeah, 9 times out of 10, it's pretty good. But that one time, it was pretty shitty, but that's the one thing we're going to key in on. So that's where happiness becomes a little bit difficult, because you can have one survey that is only one particular point in time. It's probably more important to measure that happiness over time so you can get a baseline. And that's where I see a lot of companies fail. Oh, we have a satisfaction survey. We're going to send it out like once a quarter, this or that. And you don't want to intrude on your users' lives all the time. Hey, how's this thing working? Because then you're just going to continuously get people pissed off and give you poor satisfaction because you're now hitting them up all the time, like, how's things going? I like how Zoom does it, though. At the end of every Zoom call, thumbs up, thumbs down. How was it? Easy. Easy enough. So, happiness. It's just a small snapshot in time. And you can't base all of your product decisions off of that. You need to continuously learn through observation and some of the other areas in the acronym. That goes into E, engagement. This is how your audience uses and interacts with your product. And this is how they do it, not being prompted. This is on their own volition. So by itself, engagement is not a good metric to really use. Let's use the email client again. I log into that email client. I use it every day, and I need to. It's just part of how I work. Am I really engaging with it? Am I really finding delight in using my email client? No. I am making sure that I can get my emails, I can respond to things. I don't care about having a delightful experience in my email client. I just don't want it to crash. Measuring engagement, like how often a user interacts with your product. And you can do this through analytics and understanding like how people are using your thing, where they're clicking at. Like you can do all sorts of ways to measure the engagement. But again, like you have to do this continuously. And you have to do this in a way that you can get and understand the regular use of your audience and the application, the product, the service. I don't want to have to think about how delightful a service is. I need to know, can I get the job done and then move on? So that's engagement. When you pair happiness and engagement together, you're starting to build upon a foundation here. Now let's talk about adoption. Adoption is all about new users. This is all about growth. Are you getting other people to use your product or service? Now, if you have the first two, if you have happiness and engagement on a positive, chances are you are going to get more adoption because word of mouth is a good way to get people to use your product or service. I was reading something from the 4 A's a while ago that was talking about how like the best forms of marketing is all about learning from the people that you trust and know, because people are fairly savvy to marketing and advertising, but honestly, more people are going to trust their peers, their friends, their family when they suggest something because they value their opinion and their experience. So when you talk about adoption, it's all about growth. Now, you can have the best marketing campaign in the world. You can have all sorts of ways to engage with your audience, especially if they have certain niche issues or attributes that you can talk to them directly. In particular, like here's a good example. Imgur is a great website that is a community for the entire world to share photos. It's not like Instagram or anything. Basically, it started off as an image sharing site that was used a lot with Reddit, but it has its own community now. Companies that advertise on Imgur, the ones that do it really well, understand the community and know the lingo of that community and create posts that aren't indistinguishable from actual users. If they do it well and they respect the community, they get high adoption with their products and services because they're not just blanket, just put all of our marketing out there and see what sticks. They're tailoring their message. And this is all about how your messaging, your marketing, all goes into creating a high adoption rate. Now, if you have good engagement with folks and they're generally happy, you might actually have a referral source from current customers. But you're going to look at everything from your integrated marketing communications to ensure that your product is getting out there, it's getting well known, and if you have really good communication with your audience and identifying new audience types and growth, you're going to have an opportunity to grow your product and be able to have more points for measurement on your success. Then we get to R. R is around retention. So this is not just growth, but this is shoring up what you have already. You can grow and have exponential growth and an explosion of users, but if your application, product, service sucks, they're all going to go away. Retention is all about how you keep your audience, how you keep them engaged. Are you keeping them happy? Are you improving the product and service in a way it's meeting their needs? Because people's needs do change on the daily. Now, that doesn't mean that you're constantly putting out iterations each day. That would be an agile, wet dream in a lot of respects. But you are constantly tapping into your audience and understanding what makes them happy. How are they using our product? Are they talking to other people? Are we getting new market share because of something that we're doing with our application, our product, or service that our competitors aren't? And are we keeping them there? So retention is all about how you are addressing different issues in your product and service so that you're keeping your customers and they are finding your service helpful. And then lastly, this is probably the one that I am most focused on, is task success. Can I go into my email client, send an email easily? Do I have to jump through any hoops? Can I go online to your e-commerce site, buy the shirt that I want, and get a confirmation quickly? Can I go into my online bank account, move money around into different accounts that I need to, and know that there's no issues? I feel like often designers conflate delight and task success together. It would be great if I felt delighted in the ability for me to do the things I need to. That is a delightful experience in and of itself, but I don't think delight is the ultimate goal. I want to be able to do the things I need to do quickly, easily, efficiently, and then move on with my life. Don't make me think, but really, don't make me think more than I have to. If you're looking at all of what your app, your service, your product offers your audience, what is it that they're trying to do? How are you creating paths for success? How are you removing obstacles? That is going to feed into your audience retention. That is going to feed into your adoption. That is going to feed into your engagement. And that should create, over a long period of time, more positive experiences that you can measure through surveys or other, metrics to understand that. So that is the Google Heart framework broken down by each letter there. Each of these things by themselves is one thing to measure. But when you put them together, like Voltron, you have some sort of framework here that you can then objectively start applying to your design work that can be implemented and then be measured over time. So let's take an example of that email client again. We have a new email client that allows you to pull in all of your other different emails. So you got your Gmail, you've got your MSN mail, you've got your Microsoft account, you've got another proprietary, web-hosted email. This is going to pull all of them in together and make it very easy for you to switch between accounts, be able to view everything, have a shared calendar. This email client makes it easy for anyone to manage multiple email accounts. Okay. Now, you're going to improve the user interface of this account. So it makes it easier for individuals to switch between their different accounts. Okay. If you have an individual that has, say, 8 different accounts between everything, you want to make sure that they know exactly what email account they're on and that they are not lost in the user interface. So you create a new design, you are able to implement this, engineering to be able to build it in, and the goal is that people are able to easily switch, send emails, and understand and manage their entire day. So that would be in your goal kind of column. When you look at then your signals, and when you look at your metrics, then let's work backwards. So what signals would let you know that your users are happy with things? So if the goal is to be able to easily allow users to be able to switch between accounts, what signals are there? You could set up an analytics, a way for people to measure how people are switching back and forth. You could be sending out surveys to find out from your customers, hey, this new implemented design, how is this allowing you to switch back and forth? You can also then measure through analytics and other observation how people are engaged with the new changes to your UI. Is there any new adoption? Are you seeing any growth? Are you losing any customers? And most importantly, which we can be fed back into the happiness when you talk with customers, are you helping customers be able to complete whatever tasks they need to do? So those would be your signals. of, are we enabling these things? Are we seeing less, are we seeing more adoption? Are we seeing a decrease in retention? Are we seeing these different things? And then you can set up your metrics. Specifically, say you want to have a satisfaction score of 50%. We want to see increased engagement with this new design up 10%. Are we seeing an adoption of 5% over the next quarter? Is our retention issues, are they dropping by 10%? So your metrics are tied to some numbers, some sort of quantifiable number. Where do you come up with those? This is something as a team, as a group, that you're going to be able to discuss and figure out what is most realistic. You may have some metrics that are going to be unattainable, that may be a little bit too far outside of what you're trying to achieve in a certain timeline, but ultimately, you're going to come up with it as a group. And then using this framework to be able to measure your design's effectiveness in your application, your product, your service, this gives you some concrete ways to go to your engineering staff, to go to your executive leaders, to go to everyone that wants to know what the investment the design is making, how is it panning out? How is it actually informing? How is it actually creating a value for everything? Here's my problem with all of this, is that there's still a lot of very subjective conversations around how you can use these things. Because you start creating goals, are those goals realistic? Are those signals realistic? Are those metrics realistic? And again, each of these by themselves are not helpful. Just measuring adoption, just measuring retention, putting it all together creates the foundation. But it can be very easy for you to only focus on one area, very easy to focus just on happiness, or just very easy to focus on engagement. For designers, I really stress, look at it holistically. Use the framework, and use every one of those things in the acronym to create a objective way to measure how your design work, once implemented, is being affected. How is it actually helping or hurting your audience? Whenever I talk about human-centered design, most people are familiar with the five phases of everything, IVO's kind of methodology, and generally I like that, but what I like to add on as like a sixth thing is a thing called monitor, and that is finding out over time, is the thing that we created, is the thing that we designed, is it performing the way we needed to? And I have found the HART framework as a way to really set up the levers in a way to ensure that over time, as we are continuing to learn from our audience and continuing to learn from market pressures and everything, all these different things, is the thing that we created still meeting the needs of our audience, of our customers? And over time, as we start to see satisfaction, retention, adoption, task success, engagement, as we start to see these things falter in ways that aren't going the way that we need to, that kicks off the process for improvement. If you're working in an agile methodology as well, you're doing this constantly. You're constantly using this as a way to understand what new iterations you have to put into your product. That is my take on metrics and design ROI. That framework I like. It's not the greatest, could be better, but for what we have right now, I think it's pretty good. Now, system usability scale, pretty good as well. I feel like it's very complex at times though, and very focuses on like the happiness engagement, like it's very survey-centric in a lot of respects. And with all of the research tools that we have and methodologies and activities that we have, I feel like those are all ways to look at the happiness and engagement and the task success. There's a lot really to cover here. And I find it that whenever we talk about design ROI, that it's a topic that a lot of groups don't really want to talk about. They want to talk about the engineering. They want to look at the hard quantifiable data, which is okay, which is great. That's part of this. But when we want to talk about the effectiveness of design, how well is this performing? I feel like when you're using a framework like this, and also using information from other areas, looking at the engagement and the adoption, looking at marketing data, looking at your analytics, looking at your engineering specs, looking at all those things, you can start to build out a more holistic, objective picture so that you can say, yes, the design work that we're investing in is proving positive, and we need to continue doing this because it is valuable. When you don't do this, when you don't do this work, what ends up happening is that you get questioned about, do we really need to do this? Is this design valuable? Do we really need to worry about this? Do we need to invest this time? And what ends up happening is that designers get into this route where design is deprioritized for features, and then we get into feature parity, and all we're really being used then is for aesthetic uses. We don't want to be in that position. So I feel like as designers, we need to be having the mindset that we need to measure and be able to communicate and articulate design decisions and the value and the outcomes and the objectives that they provide to a business sensibility. Not from a design sensibility, to a business sensibility. So this way, you are always fighting for design's seat at the table, but by measuring, you keep that seat at the table. I'm sure there's a lot I did not cover in this topic here, but I would be very happy if you share your thoughts and have a conversation with me on Twitter and LinkedIn, or hit me up email, wherever. I love this topic, and I'd love to hear how other organizations and how groups are doing this type of work and measuring the value and the return on investment of design. So please feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn, also hit me up on Twitter. And again, everything from my perspective, not indicative from any companies I've worked at previously or currently. It's all just my thoughts, opinions, and experiences based from my little corner of Pennsylvania. And with that, I again appreciate everyone who listens to these episodes, has been part of the show for a very long time. And I hope everyone has a great day, and take care.